I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, and this is episode 101 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. Welcome to 2021. This week's best thing is that we're in 2021 and that 2020 is over. I am just as excited about this as everyone else. New Year's Eve was quiet at home, which is always the case for me. I always, ever since I was a kid, watching the ball drop is kind of how I choose to spend New Year's Eve. I don't like to be out in the streets, like literally on the road driving. I don't want to do that on New Year's Eve. So we get a bottle of sparkling cider and we toast the new year and then we go to bed. And this year was especially low key because we were in the middle of watching a movie on Netflix and paused it like at 5 minutes till midnight, changed the channel. I was actually curious to see what was going to be on TV because usually they have, you know, they're covering Times Square. I always usually go between the channels. So ABC, NBC, does CBS do something or Fox? I think it's ABC, NBC and Fox. And then there's like, it used to be, Dick Clark. I grew up watching Dick Clark and then Ryan Seacrest took over and then Carson Daly is on some show. And then I don't know what's going on the other channels, but I always just switch between them. And it was pretty lame. The 5 minutes that I saw, there were actually, you know, people socially distanced in Times Square. Like why are you there? And yeah, so watched the ball drop, did the countdown, toasted, called people, wished them happy new year and finished watching the movie and then went to bed. So that was my very exciting New Year's Eve, which actually is not any different than any other New Year's Eve. So my writing update. I have at last count about 10,000 words in the manuscript revised, which I'm very excited about. I've been moving through it pretty well. And what I'm trying to do is track my progress, which is something I started in the last year. So in November, when I was doing NaNoWriMo, I had a spreadsheet that I would just put my word count in every day so I could see to make sure that I'm hitting, you know, my goals and to make sure that I, you know, was going to get the 50,000 words in that month, which of course I did not do, but I finished the draft, which was the most important part. So for the revision, I have been sort of modifying my tracking spreadsheet because I want to track to see how long it takes me to revise this book. I had a spreadsheet from a previous book and I've kind of been tweaking it and trying to figure out, okay, what exactly is the information that I want out of this? Why am I using this and what is it going to help me do? So I am a fan of Sarah Cannon's HB90 planning method. And I've talked about that before. She had a series of videos just on her YouTube for free about various aspects of the planning process. And I watched one of them on like planning your schedule for the next year, which is kind of what the class is about. It just goes into a lot more detail. But it reminded me of something and it kind of connects to the spreadsheet thing. So in scheduling your writing plan for next year, or if you're going to do a quarter at a time or a year at a time, you know, you look at your calendar, you mark off not only holidays, vacation days, but days when you think you might not work. Like, for example, if I was going to do this, I don't generally write on Saturdays. So I end up writing 6 days a week. And then maybe one or two other days I don't write because of something happens. I'm not feeling well, I get too busy with work, or, you know, whatever. So that ends up being, let's say, 6 to 7 days a month I'm not writing. So if I'm planning something, instead of those average 30 days, I'm only going to be writing 23 or 24 days. And that gives you a much more realistic perspective on what you can actually get done. Because if you're like, oh, well, I'm going to write 2,000 words a day, every day, and there's 30 days in this month, 31, you count that, but you're not considering the times, the days that you aren't going to write. So linked to that is actually knowing how long you need to write the book. NaNoWriMo is great because you have this goal of a 50,000 word draft in a month. Now, maybe 50,000 words isn't enough for your draft, so you need 6 weeks or 8 weeks to finish your draft. But especially when you're a new writer and you don't know how long things take you, that's hard to figure out. And even if you're not a new writer, a lot of people don't know how long things take them. Hence the tracking and the spreadsheets. I'm not great about it because I'm so focused on so many other things. Like, I can't be like focused in detail on everything. My brain is just not that big. It does not work that way. And I will tire myself out on all of these other things. Like, if you listen to this, you know, I track a lot of things. I'm very sort of interested in a lot of details, but something has to give. But I can every day at least put a word count into a spreadsheet and have that work out. So what I'm trying to do in my current spreadsheet is part of it is planning how long I think things are going to take and then how long things actually did take. So what I have is I have columns for draft, revise, and review. And that's sort of my process. I do a draft of a scene. I revise the scene. I review the scene. Every scene gets hit at least 3 times, sometimes more, but minimum 3 times. Then I have columns for time in and time out, which is my actual writing time. And that can help you figure out, like, do you write better early in the morning or late in the evening? Now, for me, I'm using it just as a record of how long it actually took me minutes wise. So then I have a column that subtracts those. So if I started writing at 8:30 and it ended at 10:37, then the time column will say 2 hours and 7 minutes. I have a description of what I actually wrote and then the word count of the manuscript when I'm done. Because when you're revising, it's different than drafting. You're not just adding words every day. It's more like, okay, at the beginning of the week, the polished manuscript had 8,000 words in it. At the end of the week, it has 13,000 words in it. And that is how I'm tracking things. And I said I only had 10,000 words, but I actually have 13,000 words in this manuscript because I'm looking at my spreadsheet right now. So, yay. So what I do is, like, for the week ahead, I have, I knew I wasn't going to write Saturday. So I have it from January 3rd to the 9th. And so on January 3rd, my estimate is that I'm going to revise chapters 4 and 5. And so I'm taking the fast draft and I'm going to do my first revision pass on it. Now I have a draft column here because I'm adding new scenes or I'm completely rewriting things, which requires a brand new fast draft because my original fast draft was just me getting to know the story. And now that I know what I want, it's all wrong and I have to change it all. And then also, on the 3rd, which is today, and I already know I'm not going to get all of this done, is review 4B. So chapter 4 has 3 scenes in it. So I have 4A, 4B, and 4C. I've already worked on 4B, and so that just needs a review. 4A and 4C need a revision. Tomorrow, I have revised chapter 5. So I've given myself 3 days to revise chapter 5 because I knew that I'm still working on 4. And I'm not exactly sure how long it's going to take. So tomorrow, revise chapter 5, review all of chapter 4. So hopefully today I get through the revision of the parts of chapter 4 and tomorrow I can just give it another pass and be done. The next day, only revise chapter 5 because I figured chapter 5 must be a mess. I don't even know what it is at this point, but I put it on my spreadsheet when I did my plan and that's what I gave myself. And then the next day I will redraft chapter 6. And review chapter 5. So on this schedule, chapter 5 is getting 4 days, 3 days of proposed revision and 1 day of review. And I just go on like that. So I take a quick look at what I have in my fast draft that exists, my new outline, how big of a gap is it between those two things, and then estimate, okay, I'm going to need about 3 days for this, and then always 1 day for review. Now, whether or not that actually happens, we'll see. So when I actually go through it on the same spreadsheet, I just break it up. So let's say today I'm supposed to do 4A and 4C and 5. Say I don't get to 5 or 4C. I just do 4A today. So I just put in another row and plot it in and just move everything else down. So then I'll know what I did and how long it took because I can look back at last week and see, okay, like on January 1st, I got through 2 different scenes. It took me 2 hours. The first scene took 33 minutes. To revise scene 4B took 1 hour and 31 minutes. And then I have the word count depending on what scene it is. So I actually put the word count of the scene and then the total manuscript word count when I'm done with my writing session. So that's how I've been using the spreadsheet to both track, to both project and schedule and then track what I've done. And then at the end, I can look back and be like, oh, okay, well, these scenes took, you know, some scenes take 20 minutes to review, some take 30. The longest thing I have on here is 2 hours, but that's for two scenes. I just get an overview of about how long this is going to take. And then when I'm done with the whole revision, I can look back and say, all right, I thought that this revision was going to take 3 months and it really took four or it took two. And that gives me more information for scheduling in the future. So I've given myself this amount of time. I've made my own deadline. It's good because I'm not working with someone else's deadline, but I'm just as motivated to get it done quickly so that I can move on to the next thing, or so that I can turn it in and sell it or whatever's going to happen with this book. So yeah, that's what I have been thinking about in terms of planning and scheduling. And that's why I think for me doing a quarter at a time or 1 or 2 months at a time in this more detailed way, and then everything else is a high level overview, which it always would be. Like, you can't in detail schedule 12 months. I don't think that ever works for anyone. Overall, I've been really happy with this revision. These 13,000 words that I have, they're good, they're clean. I am, you know, researching and revising the magic system and learning more things about it and then going back and layering in. But yeah, I'm still really excited about the story and it's unfolding. I'm going to keep pushing forward to get this done on my proposed schedule. I've also been thinking about form, because I redid my Scrivener compile settings. So this is going to get a little bit in the weeds of Scrivener, but Scrivener is the program that I used to write in, and it's very customizable. So you can kind of do what you need to do in terms of how you write. Like, you can download sample projects, and there's folders, and then there's files. And one of the great things I love is I write each scene in its own little file. And you can see it along the left-hand side in like an outline form. And so sometimes I move scenes around, and I always have done this because generally I'm writing in multiple POVs. But even in this book, when it's not really multiple, there's technically two POVs. But sometimes, you know, I realized the other day, if I switch these two scenes, it'll be more impactful. So just drag and drop as opposed to whatever you have to do in Microsoft Word. But I don't usually use folders. So if my chapter has multiple scenes, there's a way in Scrivener where you can take a scene and nest it inside of other scenes. Or you could make a folder and put scenes inside of the folder. Different ways to do it. But then when you compile it and when you export it into Word, or you can actually compile to eBooks directly from Scrivener too, but generally I'm compiling to Word. There's just a lot of setup that you have to do. And while I love Scrivener, I will completely be open and say that if you are going to learn Scrivener, it doesn't take any time to learn to write in a word processor. Give yourself 2 to 3 hours to learn how to compile. And each time you compile a manuscript, you might need another hour. At least I do. Now, I've made my own like compile presets. I have an export that's just called LP export. And because I did all of the Ursinger books in the same way, where my chapters, if they had multiple scenes, they were nested inside of a scene. And that was how my settings were. And I don't usually name my chapters, at least not in Ursinger Chronicles. So that's kind of things like the form. That's how I'm thinking of it. In this book, I'm experimenting with naming chapters. First time ever, I've actually had chapter names. And for a variety of reasons, putting things in folders. So making a chapter a folder, which I think is kind of a standard way to do it. It's just new for me. And then putting those scenes inside the folder. But it means that I had to redo my compile settings, because instead of nested scenes, I'm exporting folders. And technically in the program, it's different. And it took me like 45 minutes to get it right. So that it's showing the chapter title and then without a page break, the body of the chapter. And then each scene within the chapter has its own title. So I guess there were scene titles more than chapter titles. But I still think that like the form of this book, the rules I'm giving myself, which is kind of what I mean by the form of it, are different. I thought about chapters differently in Earthsinger, and it was necessitated by the story. You know, like when you have a story with four or five point of view characters and it's going back and forth between them all, and you might have multiple POV characters inside of a chapter, then that is one consideration. I'm also thinking about chapter length and trying to make them similar. Like I don't want, you know, a 500 word chapter and a 6,000 word chapter, although sometimes for effect I do, but just in general, like if it's not just for a special effect where this chapter is really short because it gives you that impact. Otherwise, I kind of want my chapters, you know, I think with Earthsinger I was trying for between 2,500 and 3,500 words, maybe like 2,500 words to like 4,000 words on the upper end, but keep trying to keep them a similar size. That was part of the form. That was part of sort of the rules I gave myself. I wasn't doing it. I mean, the story had to come first, you know, and a scene is as long as it needs to be. But at the same time, once you give yourself those rules, I think it kind of, however the creativity works, it flows like that, you know, like I didn't have to do a lot of juggling to make the chapters work in those lengths. And because I had set those sort of boundaries for myself, it flowed out that way. This is a bit different. And I don't know yet exactly, since I'm only four chapters in, the length of the chapter are different, but the form of having these scenes that have titles to them, and then the chapters flow in a different way. And because it's basically one POV character, and then I'm calling it the voice. And if you've been following along, I've been thinking about this idea of sort of an omniscient narrator or something like that. So there are scenes that are from the POV of this voice, and then there are the scenes from the POV of my main character. And even just that change of those perspective characters gives this novel its own form, which is different than anything else I've ever done. And I think that was one of the other reasons why I just felt like I needed folders instead of nested chapters. And I don't know if I can say anything more about it than that. It's like a vibe, you know, an energy or something. Not to get too woo-woo, because I don't think I'm too woo-woo about it. But yeah. So this book required a different form, and I guess we'll see. Like part of the form of Earthsinger were the chapter epigraphs, and those were their own beast. The chapter titles or the scene titles are much less difficult because they're very short. And I wonder if they need to be doing more work. Is there something, if I'm going to go through the effort, even as minimal as it is, of giving each scene a title, then I've been thinking about them as just, oh, this is the title of this thing. It's kind of short and pithy, but should it be doing more work? I mean, the epigraphs actually did a lot of work. Is it possible for the scene titles to do that much, or to do obviously like less work than epigraphs, which might be 30, 40, 50 words long? That's something I actually just thought of just now. Like, maybe these scene titles could be more than I was thinking of initially. But as I go through this, and you know, I'm on the one hand, I'm trying to do different things. I'm trying to push and challenge myself and just explore different things that I haven't done before, because I don't want to do the same thing over and over again. And on the other hand, the story itself is actually dictating some of these different things, which is really cool. And I am enjoying that a lot and appreciating it. I also listened to this interview with Francis Ford Coppola on Fresh Air with Terry Gross. It was like a repeat of an old interview, but it was the first time I'd heard it. And he's talking about The Godfather, and he had released a book of his notebook that he kept during the filming of The Godfather. And the thing in the interview that hit me the hardest was when he talked about themes. He said for each film he makes, he has a one-word theme for it. And the theme for The Godfather, part one, was succession. And so whenever he would encounter a decision to make, whether it's like a costume thing, like what, you know, he talks about another film, The Conversation, and the theme was privacy. I don't think I've seen this film, but there was a question about what kind of raincoat the character should wear. And he didn't know. And instead of just being like, oh, costume designer, just pick a raincoat. He thought about like, okay, well, what is the theme? Like anytime there's a question about any aspect of this film, I'm going to go back to theme. The theme was privacy. There was a see-through, like a plastic raincoat that was see-through, and that, you know, worked with the theme. So that was what he wore. And I just thought that was amazing because I do, like I think about theme, and when I get stuck, I think about what am I trying to say? How will this decision that I can't make reinforce what I'm trying to say? The theme, the controlling idea, my vision for the novel, why I'm writing it in the first place. And so it was really cool to hear someone else's take on that in a different medium. But that idea is still pushing forward the decision making. In other news, week two of the turkey vultures outside, I did discover that they are turkey vultures. A deer had died behind my backyard, but in full view of my window from my office. And yeah, second week, like a lot, like I counted 16 gigantic turkey vultures congregating outside, and they'll go in the trees. We have a lot of trees that are actually in our yard. And I tried to take a picture, but it's not really coming out right. The spooky ominousness of all of these vultures on these branches in my backyard, and then like another pile of them on this dead deer eating it. It's been a feast for them. And very interesting to see. I'm hoping that they pick the poor thing clean by now and that they'll be done with it. The circle of life. What are you going to do? In TV watching, I saw Bridgerton, the TV series on Netflix, which I did enjoy. I'd enjoyed it, and I loved that there were Black people and that it wasn't just a racially blind casting, but that there was a story reason why these characters were Black. So Bridgerton takes place in the Regency period in England, and there's been a lot of controversy about having Black characters in it, of course. But it's one thing to do a racially blind casting, and that's a thing. I think it's way better to make it like part of the story. That I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it, but there's a good reason why these characters are Black, and like they're reasonable. Like the father, the actors in the family, it's not just blunt. Like anybody can be this and that, where you're like, okay, that's nice. So yeah, I enjoyed the series. I didn't love it. And I'm trying to figure out why. Like I was texting my friend, like, why is it that I can watch either Pride and Prejudice, the 6-hour BBC one, or the Keira Knightley one? Although I would much prefer to always watch the 6-hour BBC one. But I could, you know, if I had 6 hours today, I would put it on. I can watch that infinity. I may watch Bridgerton again. I mean, I'll watch other seasons definitely when they come out. I probably won't watch this one again, honestly, but it's not like in a universe with infinite time, then maybe I'd watch it again. But it didn't have like a Darcy moment, and I wanted a Darcy moment. And I don't even know what a Darcy moment is, but I just had this feeling because I think Simon and Darcy there's some similarities in those characters a little bit, not a lot, but I don't know. I was trying to figure it out and I haven't figured it out yet. But yes, definitely very enjoyable, very much worth watching. Also saw Wonder Woman 84, which was kind of a mess, but it had a lot of heart and I appreciated that. It had some pacing issues. It was slow and a little boring sometimes and kind of out of control. But at the end of the day, I liked where their heads were at, you know, like I can respect where their heads were at with that, even if it didn't quite get executed maybe the way they wanted to. And then we watched Soul, which was the Pixar movie. I enjoyed that too. Also controversy with that. There's controversy with everything. I shouldn't even like, what doesn't have controversy in 2021, you know? It's a Pixar movie with a lot of Black people in it and a lot of Black voices, and it has a cool message. Like, are kids understanding what this movie is about? Can they? It was a weird choice for a children's movie, But for the adults who have to watch it and who choose to watch it, it was nice. Yeah, I've been looking for just lighthearted, happy things to watch. I still haven't really been able to sink into a book, although I'm going to try again, maybe this afternoon, and see. Reading has been hard, which is why I've been watching much more TV than I usually do. Like, reading is such a much more holistic, like, whole body experience. Like, your entire brain is doing all of the work. Whereas as much as I love TV and movies, they've done most of the work for you. So you're watching and consuming it, and you're getting their imagery in, where when you're reading, I just feel like my brain is doing my work, and maybe my brain is just tired right now. Like, that's why I haven't been able to read anything significant. And usually when I am unable to read, I feel bereft. I haven't gotten that feeling yet. I don't think I want to wait until I do, but I'm going to give it another shot. I've gotten some recommendations from some trusted sources, and I'm going to try them. So, 2021, how is it beginning for you? So far, it's begun pretty well. I'm encouraged. It's the third day, but, you know, start as you mean to go on. And that is a good way to think about things. So I will be writing today again with my friend. This week, every morning, I am still getting up and writing at 8 a.m. with my friends online, and it's working really well. So keep it going. Planning to get through this book, and at the end of the quarter, I will plan the next quarter. I'm going to keep it focused, keep it, you know, manageable and within my grasp, my reach within my grasp for a little while. So that is it for me for this week. I want to remind you about the giveaway that I'm having in honor of the 100th episode and not the 101st episode. If you go to lpenelope.com/podcast giveaway, one word, you can enter the giveaway for a signed copy of one of my books. You will choose which book you want, and it could include The Ark of Requiem of Silence whenever it comes. I don't know, but it will come one day. So check the show notes for the link, and I will talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter and get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.